Welcome to another Thursday evening edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Great to have you with us, and have to thank our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts, and our upcoming sports schedule. Gus, it's a classic tomorrow night with all kinds of implications as ACCHS at Marhill Mount Academy. We'll have that at 7 o'clock game tomorrow. And Saturday, what in the world? It's an open date as the Benedictine Ravens have a free Saturday as the, we'll be talking about it as the conference season shifts into play. That all said, wow, where do we even begin? Let's talk about the games that went on last week. What do you say? There were, again, quite a lot of points scored in the Meadowlark League and the Atchison Phoenix really putting it on Washington 55-6. Coach Smith's team, because offense has been the thing for them all year.
Yeah, they've, you know, just, I guess, you could probably go to both sides of the football, right? The offense has just been scoring at will, and the defense has given up nothing all season. And for Atchison, another 55 points, it's just ridiculous right now. And so, again, I feel like we say the same thing every week about Coach Smith and his team, but, man, they're playing some really good football right now. And if you stop and you look at some of the competition they've had, you know, the scores for them this season. Week one against Ottawa, we had that game up at Amelia Earhart. That was the closest game of the season. They came away with the 31-24 win in a game that I know it was close, but I felt like Atchison was kind of in control the whole time. But then they go on to win 47-20, 72-0, 63-14, 55-6. I mean, not only are they scoring, but, you know, when you're holding your opponents to 24 points is the most you've given up. In high school football, that's quite the accomplishment these days.
Yeah, and in the conference, there are the haves and have-nots. There are teams scoring points and doing some things like Atchison. For example, Wyandotte defeating Harmon 54-0. You had Lincoln Prep coming away with a big win over Highland Park. Highland Park had been sailing high, but then they traveled over to Missouri, and Lincoln Prep beats them 59-22. And then in the real close game, had to be a good one, Sumner went to Schlegel, winning it 26-17.
Yeah, so if you stop and you look at the standings right now in the conference, and for Atchison, they're going to have, two games left in the conference. They're going to play Highland Park on Friday. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But right now, it's Atchison and Highland Park, both undefeated. You've got Sumner at 3-2, Wyandotte at 2-2, Washington at 1-2. Then you've got Schlegel at 1-4, and I'm going to tell you, it's an uphill battle for Harmon from here on out.
It's been kind of an uphill battle for Harmon for the season. They've had their struggles. Teams do that. It happens, you know, as the waves, pool of talent kind of oscillates back and forth.
Yeah, for Harmon, I mean, they're going to be off this week. Probably good for them. Next week, they're going to be at Sumner. And then in 2 weeks, on the 21st, they're going to go to a place that we're somewhat familiar with. They're going to go to Rockhurst and take on the Hawkwits. So that should be, you know, an interesting end to their season.
Cross the state line by about, half a block?
Maybe.
Yeah. Something like that. Hey, you turn over to the NEKL. We went up to Troy, and the Trojans are for real. We knew they were good. Because they are absolutely outstanding. They are big. They've got great height, great size, great speed, and that's a combination that leads to a lot of wins. And they were able to win on their homecoming night against Morehill Mount Academy last Friday.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time it's been a minute for me, I guess, that we saw so many guys that were 6 foot and taller, right?
Yeah.
Like 6 foot, 6'1", 6'3", 6'4", 6'4", 6'5". I mean, it was just like, wow. I mean, and they were fast, athletic. I mean, they just, they were the total package, and at the level that they play, I mean, they're going to be really tough, and they're going to win a lot of games. And you start looking at how they hold up in that Twin Valley League. I mean, you've got Centralia, who's 3-0, then you've got Troy, Valley Heights, and then Onega coming in fourth place right now in that Twin Valley League. They only have four teams that play 11-man football, so You know, that's why you see them play a lot of these out of district games or out of conference games, is because, you know, the Twin Valley is mainly an 8-man league.
And Troy lost early in the season to Centralia. And that was kind of a tipping point for this team, because after that, I think they refocused and really, really concentrated on some things, and they've been a juggernaut ever since. ACCHS, talk about your juggernauts. Boy, they're doing a great job in Effingham. The Tigers at home with a victory over Pleasant Ridge, 36-14 last week. We talked about that Centralia team. Everybody was watching this game, but it turned out to be pretty one-sided. Centralia, 28-6 over Jackson Heights. JCN at home. It was their homecoming, and they rolled Oskaloosa, 42-7. St. Mary's, I think maybe arguably one of the top two, three teams in the state in their division, over Valley Falls, 65-14. Minneapolis defeated Horton. And Mission Valley with that rare 1-0 win over McLouth, because the Bulldogs could not answer the bell in the second half.
Yeah, that was kind of an odd thing. But, you know, you start looking up and down. It was mainly a good time for the home teams last week. Only ones were Jackson Heights and Valley Falls coming up a little short, but, you know, some teams did some interesting things, right? Like JCN putting up 42 against Oskaloosa. ACCHS, I was a little, I don't know that I was surprised, but, you know, they didn't have really any problems with Pleasant Ridge, and I kind of wondered with that game going from a Friday to a Saturday, and you go from night games to playing day game.
Is that a big difference? You play both.
Oh,
is it different?
I prefer, like, once you got to college, I prefer day games. I mean, it just, something
about... Is it because of the light? Is
yeah.
it the atmosphere? What
For
is
me,
it?
For me, it was kind of the light. I just preferred the lights better, you know, the natural light versus the artificial lights and things like that. I don't know. Having in high school, of course, you never played day games, and then you go to college and you play mainly day games. I just learned to like the day games better. But, you know, when you're in high school and you don't have that, and all of a sudden they say, hey, by the way, in about 3 days, we're not going to play. We're going to turn around and play the next day. So then, as a coach, I'm sure you got a thousand things going through your head. What are my guys doing on Friday night? You're hoping everybody, you know, is getting ready for the Saturday game. So just a lot of things. And it looks like the Tigers, you know, answered the way that you wanted them to, scoring 36 against Pleasant Ridge on Saturday afternoon.
So it's going to set up a great game as we look at first of the NEKL schedule for tomorrow night. The game we have again here on K-Radio, ACCHS at Marhill Mount Academy. Jackson Heights is going to go to Troy. Troy was keeping an eye on that Jackson Heights game, you know, pretty much through the course of the evening. And they know what a big game this is for both of them. JCN will have its hands full as they travel out to St. Mary's to play the Bears. It'll be, now this could be a matchup. Valley Falls at McLouth. So here's an opportunity for both of those teams to get a W. Riley County is going to go to Horton. Riley County's been playing some superb ball. Pleasant Ridge is at home with Silver Lake. Always a tough draw. And Mission Valley is at Oskaloosa. Again, a couple of teams have been battling for some wins this year, so this could be another very competitive game.
Yeah, you talk about the league standings for the Northeast Kansas League. Tigers at 4-0, Jackson Heights at 3-0, JCN at 3-1. You've got Valley Falls at 1-1, MHMA right now at 2-2, right above Horton at 1-2, Pleasant Ridge with 3 losses, McLouth with 3 losses, and Oskaloosa looking for that win this season.
Checking at the Meadowlark League for tomorrow night, and people have been pointing to this game for a while, as Highland Park, again, a new entry into the Meadowlark League this season, is going to make their first trip to Amelia Earhart Stadium. It'll be Highland Park at Atchison, and it could be a championship game in the conference right here.
Yeah, I think the winner of this goes on to win the conference, right? Because I just don't see either one of them losing past this week, at least in conference play. And Highland Park, we're going to find out how good they are, right? They moved into this league. They've had a lot of success early on for a program who success has eluded them over the last few years. But then they played Lincoln Prep, who, you know, is an okay team. We kind of looked them up. They were like a 3-2 type team, you know. But Lincoln Prep had no problems with Highland Park. So it kind of made you wonder, well, but that's a long trip and it's an out-of-state game. Where were your guys? So I feel like we're going to get a better gauge of, you know, how far Highland Park is in the rebuild process this week.
Sumner is going to be at home, and they will have a cross-state line matchup also with Kansas City Northeast.
Yeah, Kansas City Northeast is one of those teams that we've seen play a lot of these, you know, Meadowlark teams this season, because I'm sure looking to fill a schedule and everybody has an open date because of, you know, the size of the conference not being exactly big enough to have to field everybody. So, yeah, that's kind of been a, you know, almost an adopted team into the conference, you know?
Yeah, and again, that road trip is closer than some of the conference road trips.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Washington, that's a short run, over to Wyandotte. And then Schlegel will take it out Highway 10 to Eudora. At Harmon,
well, this
good
time
news
of year,
for Harmon.
Well, the good thing is that this time of the year for Schlegel, that's probably a pretty drive.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And talking about great, we're going to be back. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about, college football and more, coming up here on Sports Look. Back with you on Sports Look here on Care Radio. And Gus, we made one of our longer road trips of the year. There have been a couple, three long ones, Des Moines and Dubuque, but this was to Canton, Missouri, a place that the Ravens have been playing for a very, very long time. And the outcome is no different than it's been the last, what, 30 sometimes that they've played at Canton.
Not only been making that trip that long, but yeah, the Ravens have always played well when they go over to Canton, right? And it was no exception on Saturday. The Ravens came out and just punched Culver early, right? And Culver Stockton just struggled. I mean, then we got right before half. Culver Stockton has a chance. They're going to go in. They're going to score. They're going to cut this thing right before the break. They fumble the ball at the 2, and the Ravens take it away. And in the second half, Culver Stockton just, you know, might as well have stayed in the locker room, because they came out in the second half. They didn't look like the same team. You know, even after the game, we kind of talked to ourselves, because we got packed up and we're leaving, and the coaches for Culver Stockton were still down there talking to their team. So, yeah, I don't think all was good in Canton Saturday after the game.
Yeah, and I don't know what you say to a team as Benedictine comes out with a 45-16 victory at Culver Stockton, and I don't know what you say to them. It's just like, guys, don't give up yet. There's still a half a season, the conference part of the season coming up. But for Benedictine, I tell you what, more long scores this year than I can remember, and it gets reflected. We're going to be talking about some of the high water marks that the Ravens have set here at the midpoint of the season. But for Benedictine, the incredible speed that they possess begins to show through. As you've got Garrett Kettle and connecting with Jacob Gathright for 71 yards, and then you got Garrett turning around, quarterback draw, one of my three favorite plays in football, 59 yards. And that's just when a defense is, there's two things that happen there. A defense is totally taken in by the play call, and Coach Murphy would love it. You know, there was great downfield blocking by those receivers to make that happen. That is a play that takes some great execution, but can be so, so successful, and it was.
Yeah, and Kettle had the long run last year against Culver Stockton, answers it back this year. We talked about during the broadcast a handful of times, just when you felt like the Raven offense really wasn't hitting, it just didn't look right. We kept laughing that at any second the Ravens are going to take the top off of something, and they did. I mean, every time they needed a big play, they were able to just dial one up.
Like the 38-yard pass from Kettle, Jacob Gathright. So Jacob with two long touchdown receptions. Matter of fact, over 100 yards with the two touchdown catches.
Yeah, you know, and Jacob Gathright's one of those guys who I feel like a lot of times he's coming back to make the reception, because how many times do we talk about Jacob? You know, 4 catches, 140 yards, no touchdowns, right? And you're just like throwing your hands up because he puts up all these stats, but he's not been able to get in the end zone, and that's where usually Reed Levi comes by and cherry picks that touchdown. But, you know, Jacob able to get in the end zone a couple times, but you still haven't quite got to maybe my favorite play of the day.
Was it the 17-yard pass from Todd?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because I hope that we did it justice, because it was a it was a fun play. You know, some plays are, you know, kind of mundane and you run it over and over off the A gap, whatever. This was not that play. This was reaching back deep into the book.
Yeah, you pitch it to your wide receiver coming around, and the whole time he's looking down the field to throw the football. And then he throws to, what, wasn't it to Reed Levi?
Yeah.
And Reed was well covered. Like, you know, I'm guessing that that's one of those plays where Jayshon comes off, everybody's excited, and then Joel pulls him to the side and said, hey, let's not throw into that kind of coverage again, okay? Because, like, the cornerback was right there. The cornerback did everything right. And I'm going to tell you, when they went back and watched film, the cornerback was going to get just a no grade because, like, he was in position. He did everything he could have. He was just going against a 6'4" tight end who, you know, can make a lot of things happen. So, yeah, that was probably one of my favorite plays, but it was a strike from Jayshon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a defense, you kind of get that terror when you see, and we saw it several times Saturday, they go to the Wildcat.
Yeah, because now you've seen that he can throw. And so that's going to pause some teams because, you know, one of these games, Jayshon's going to take the snap, approach the line of scrimmage, and then he's just going to stop and pop one down the field because he can. And the problem is, if you don't respect his arm, he's going to be able to throw. If you do respect his arm, he's going to run at you and then probably by you. And so, I mean, the Ravens right now have just some explosive players that are nightmares for a lot of coaches. And I think, you know, if you're looking ahead, we can do this because what does it matter? If you're the Baker coaching staff, you're probably sitting here looking at the second half of the season going, man, that's not a combination we want to play because, like, I think that's the one that Baker's looking at Benedictine as maybe their roadblock, but I think they should probably look at every team between now and then as a problem because I think that they could be. But for Benedictine, they've just been so explosive, been able to do just about whatever they wanted, and the speed on the defense has been ridiculous. So, yes, there's a lot of things going good up on North 2nd.
No question about it. And so the Ravens with a very successful first half of the season. And now we go into the break, okay? And every team in the conference will have the week off, except one. Because there was a – Evangel always seems to have some kind of a game that – doesn't fit into a schedule with whatever they've got going on at school or on campus. So, in fact, there's going to be one different game.
What is it? Yeah, so there's a game Saturday. Oh, Central Methodist is going to be home with Mid-America.
There you go.
And it's homecoming in Fayette. So if you want to go to Fayette for homecoming, there you go. For Benedictine, this could be interesting because Benedictine's going to come off of a week of rest next week. Central Methodist won't have that week of rest. They're going to play Benedictine next week. So it will be interesting to see how they react of not getting that rest, you know. But Central Methodist right now is a team who, you know, is just going to forge through the rest of the season and try to get through it. So
now we look at the national poll and Benedictine. I did not know that they would be able to go up much this week, but in fact, they advanced a couple more spots, and the Ravens are now a top 10 team in the nation. Now, of course, there are a couple of different polls. There's the official NAIA poll that is, you know, written by the coaches, and then, of course, there is a media poll that is out there that has the Ravens ranked higher yet, but in the official NAIA rankings from the coaches, Morningside and Grandview and Lindsey Wilson and Northwestern and Marion and Southwestern Kansas continue to hold the top six spots as they were previously.
Okay, I got a question for you. This weekend, number 5 Marion plays number 7 Indiana Wesleyan.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 and 7.
Uh-huh.
Who are you pulling for? You got to pull for Marion in my,
absolutely.
In my mind that, like, you're not chasing Marion because they're in the top 5. Don't worry about that. I feel like if there are teams around you, those are teams that you want to lose. And I think that, you know, Marion could beat Indiana Wesleyan. So there's a team right around you that could drop below you. Another team that I think you keep an eye on is College of Idaho at number 9. They're taking on number 17, Rocky Mountain this week. So that's a game to keep an eye on. And I think with Southwestern, at any minute, they're going to drop. And if they lose a game, I think, you know, being in the KCAC, you're one of those games that go from, like, 6 to 15 real quick, you know?
And it's kind of interesting to me also that the Heart of America Athletic Conference has two ranked teams with Grandview and Benedictin both in the top 10. Baker has fallen way out of the poll. It did get a couple of votes, but, you know, they'd be in the 30s somewhere. But the Kansas Conference has three ranked teams. Southwestern of Kansas, number 6. Bethel at number 12. And KW still hanging around there at number 15. So if it were to stop today, they would have three teams making the postseason. Good and by the way, if you're watching, Kaiser has snuck back into the polls after a huge win this Saturday. Kaiser, out of the Sun Conference, is number 25.
Yeah, you look down and Kaiser is back in. How about Waldorf getting into the top 25 at number 24? Will Finley doing a nice job over there at Waldorf. Texas Wesleyan moves into number 23, so, you know, some Raven ties there at the bottom of the poll.
Yeah, and let's talk about why Benedictine continues to move up in the poll and why they continue to get some national respect. It, certainly they deserve it with that, with their record right now at 5-1. But also, at midseason, Benedictine is leading the nation in so many categories. For example, number one team in the nation, 33 touchdowns. They are tied for first place with 21 passing touchdowns, 20 takeaways, and there's a number that I find absolutely huge because you score those touchdowns because your defense takes it away. And they've got 3 defensive touchdowns. So that's always awesome to see those guys with those pick sixes, and we've been able to enjoy several of those. They're also the conference leader in points per game, over 43 points a game. We were talking about the offenses, you know, in high school scoring a lot of points. Benedictine, 43.3 points a game. They are scoring 86% of the time in the red zone and 30 yards per kick return. And again, another tip of the hat there to the speed of those return guys, Austin Buteau and Jay Sean.
Yeah, I was going to say, as the season progresses, Buteau's going to continue getting more returns because people just aren't going to kick to Jay Sean. I mean, that's
kind of
where we're at.
Yeah, we watch them. And we're also going to see, I think, probably some of those kickoffs that I think that we have talked about also that don't necessarily go down to the goal line for the return, but they kind of pooch them and get them around the 25, and they'll give you the 25 or 30 just not to have a big return.
Yeah, they kind of high short kick, yep.
So all of that said, the Heart of America Athletic Conference, very competitive. Benedictine really looking sharp, and they will be back in action next Saturday. We'll be back. Tell you what we got coming up. We talk about we're going to be down at MHMA with ACCHS and the Ravens tomorrow night. And we're going to talk, as we've been doing each week, with the activities director of the home team. And we've got Whitney McGinnis joining us. We'll be back. More Sports Look right after this. We've got Miss Whitney McGinnis with us. She's the activities director at Marhill Mount Academy. Miss McGinnis, I appreciate the time. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for calling, Tom.
I know that there are tons of things going on at the school, but we're going to dive right in, if you don't mind, to homecoming, because it's already, I don't know how we get halfway through the season this quickly, but it's homecoming, and I'm sure there are a lot of fun things going on with the kids up at MHMA.
Yeah, there is. It has been a full week of activities, and there's never a dull moment, especially not during the homecoming week. So we've had soccer games, we've had volleyball, we've got football on Friday night, cross country Saturday. So we've got everybody playing or participating somewhere this week. So it definitely keeps us going when it comes to all of the things that happen. But we love it, and we love having all the alumni come back onto campus and be here to have the game with us Friday night and to get to experience a game at Guy Galley Field on a Friday.
Let's talk a little bit about the fall sports and how they're going, because you just kind of went through a little list of things. So much going on, you know, soccer. You've got pretty decent turnout of kids, and how's soccer going?
Soccer is going really well. We have a really solid number of kids out this year. Eric Burkhart is our head coach, and they, because there's no one else in our league that plays soccer, they travel a distance, and they play some big schools. They've gone out to Junction City. They go and play against schools in Topeka and in Kansas City. And we are smaller, but we are competing with all of those schools. And so just to see the progress that they've made from the start of the season to where they're at now has been great. And I know Eric is happy with the progress, and they still have quite a few games left in their season. And 5 of their last 6 games are all at home. So they're all going to be there on the Marhamat Academy campus, and anyone is welcome to come out and watch the games, and they're great fun to see.
And you got to be kind of proud that MHMA is kind of a trailblazer in the conference for soccer. Any other schools ever mentioned, you know, that's something maybe we would like to have?
No, and it is funny because when, you know, you go to league events and stuff and we're the only ones playing soccer, it is fun to kind of be able to, you know, tout that a little bit, that we're doing something that nobody else in the league is doing. So I always joke that we can say that we are the league champions of soccer every year. So we'll keep that little feather in our hat.
I love it. Hey, how about cross country? As an old cross country, and you wouldn't look at me today and know it, but years ago I ran that in high school. Here are some kids who put in tremendous hours, many miles, and it's a sport that's difficult to have a fan base to go to the events and watch because it's not easy to watch them run these courses. But tell me a little bit about cross country at MHMA.
Cross country is the one sport that, you know, I watch them go out to practice. I'm like, I don't know how they do it. We have a small team. We're kind of rebuilding our team this year. It is all girls, and they have just been blowing us away with what they're coming back with. Adrienne Rafflinger is our head coach, so she's back this year, and she's got 7 girls who day in and day out are putting in the time and the miles and the effort to get better. We have one runner who's a freshman who has placed at every single meet that she has gone to. We took them down to the Rimrock Invitational a couple weeks ago, which is where the 3A state competition is going to be held down in Lawrence, to give them a chance to run that course for the experience. And one of our freshmen, Bella Black, she actually placed 97th in that meet out of over 300 runners. And so she had never run that course before. So we were really happy to see what she's doing. The other girls are getting out there. They're placing in meets. So I think the cross country has a bright future ahead of it. They are very young because it is mainly freshmen and sophomores who are competing right now. So in a couple years, they're going to be really fun to watch to see what all they can accomplish.
And Coach Sarah has the volleyball team. You know, they've been practicing, I know, for a while, and they stay really busy in a really, really competitive conference.
It is a very competitive conference. We're sitting at 14-12, which puts us in the middle of the league at the moment. But just this past Tuesday night, and even last Saturday at a tournament, we beat Jackson Heights, who at that point was tied for first in the league. We beat them Saturday and Tuesday. So we are out there and we are competing. And volleyball in the NEKL has always been a strong sport. And it is one of the activities that there is more competition and more back and forth between teams than any other sport that you might see. So there's a great group of girls who are out. We've got some strong senior leaders. We've got 8 seniors out this year. So they're led by a really strong core group of girls. And the things that they have been able to accomplish this year with some of the teams that they have beat has been really fun to watch. So they've got 2 more regular season dates coming up over the next 2 weeks, and then on the 22nd, we go to Substate out at Nemaha Central.
Whitney McGinnis is with us, AD at Marhamat Academy, and of course, then we'll flip our focus over to football, and the Ravens at home again at Guy Galley Field for homecoming this weekend. And you talk about great schedules and how good volleyball is. Your football district is not easy.
Our football district might be one of the toughest in 2A. When you've got, you know, league competitors in Pleasant Ridge and in ACCHS, but then you've also, you throw in Rossville and Silver Lake, and it is not an easy district at all. We are a young team. Zach Fredrickson is our head coach this year, and he came in and has done a phenomenal job working with the boys and getting them ready and getting them prepared. We have been plagued by a few injuries, and that has definitely hindered some things for us. But I think going forward and even into the next few years, I'm really excited with Zach and what he's been able to do. The seniors that we have on the football team this year, they've done a great job leading, especially those new, younger kids. We have quite a few freshmen and sophomores, some who have never played football before. So to see those seniors step up and be the leaders that they need to be on the field and off the field has really been great to watch. And so we play at Silver Lake next Friday, and then we are home back on the 21st for our last regular season game, home against Rossville. And we'll have senior night that night as well, so we'll have a chance to acknowledge and recognize those seniors from the cross country, the football, and the soccer teams for all of the work and time and effort that they've put in over the last few years.
And real quickly, I want to throw one more time kudos to Coach Fred. He is a great guy and I watch him out there. What a great rapport he's got with those kids. You could tell they like him, want to play for him, and he really relates to them.
Yeah, the kids love him. He's got a great group of assistant coaches that he was able to put together, and I've heard nothing but great things from kids about Coach Fred, from all of his assistants, and it's been fun to see kind of that whole thing come together, because there's a good chunk of it that happened last minute. And so for those things to all come together like they have, and to come together in a way that they can see successes, even if it might not show on the scoreboard at the end of the game, there are still things that they are seeing successes from every game and getting better every single game. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to see. I'm hopeful for the next, few years as those younger kids get bigger and stronger and get a little more comfortable with what they're doing. I think they'll be really fun to watch as they get a little bit older.
And Ms. McGinnis, again, we'll conclude with it's a fun time at Mar Hill Mount Academy right now with homecoming, and we've got perfect football weather. We're wishing for a huge crowd and lots of fun as the alums come in and the week continues.
Yeah, it'll be a great night of activities and seeing all of the alums come back on campus and getting to see some of my former students who are coming back. So it's always a good time when homecoming week rolls around.
Whitney McGinnis, AD at Mar Hill Mount Academy Prep, and we appreciate your time very much. Wish you the very best. Go Ravens.
Thanks, Tom. See you later.
Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. We move to segment 4 in the rapid fire part of our program. And Gus, let's talk about rapid fire. It was rapid fire with Kansas City at Tampa as the Chiefs and Buccaneers combined for over 70 points. The over was never a question in this game. And the Chiefs come away with another very, very good win. That was a good win for the team for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. On the opening kickoff when Tampa fumbled and Kansas City scores two plays later, I was like, oh, well, this might be okay. I never dreamed that Kansas City was going to score whatever they wanted. They stopped at 41, right? But let's be honest about that.
Here's the deal. It was a 10-point win. And yet, as I watched the game and as it was unfolding, from that very first possession where you talked about them scoring after the takeaway, did you ever think that they weren't just going to walk away with this? Was there ever any kind of a question ever at any moment?
Yeah, I don't. Not in my mind, at least. It was one of those things where you walk away and you're like, man, they look dominant. And you got to love how they did it, right? Like, they came out, they ran the ball really effectively, and you run the ball to set up the pass, and it worked. I mean, like, Kansas City was
able to
just... Wait a
minute, would you say that one more time? Just for me. Just for me.
I know, but, and it's one of those things that right now that the Chiefs are able to kind of do whatever they want. And it probably helps that Patrick's just out there having fun right now, and you can tell that. And the Chiefs are one of the top scoring offenses right now. And what? I believe McCole, Juju, and Valdez-Scantlin. Maybe those three don't even have a touchdown yet this season.
No. Matter of fact, they're hardly getting any touches.
Right. But you would have thought coming into this season that everybody was looking to stop Kelsey, right? And Travis had, what, another birthday yesterday, and it doesn't look like he's slowing down. And I think for the rest of the NFL, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, and when you've got a tight end who can take a snap.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then Noah Gray comes up and steps under center, and kind of, it's that whole Blake Bell play, right? You know, and when they bring Blake Bell back here in a few weeks, that'll be one of those things that everybody's going to be like, man, how do you stop this team, right? Because he's a great blocking tight end, too, and he can do the quarterback sneaks, and so.
And defensively, they're going to get some guys eligible again here pretty soon, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, and that's the other thing. I feel like the defense is playing really well right now. And you're doing that without Willie Gay, who's, you know, suspended for, what, two more games,
I think? Couple more, I think, yep.
And your number one overall pick in Trent McDuffie, the cornerback, who's been out with a hamstring injury since week one. And so people have kind of forgotten him back there. Right. And everybody talks about Karloftis because he's playing well, but you kind of forget that you got a couple starters that are going to come back into the fold here at some point, and all of a sudden this team looks dangerous. You know what this team looks? They're fast and they're aggressive on defense. And I think those two things add up to being a good defense.
And I think that this team is a team that they feel like they're on a mission a little bit more than they have the last couple of years. You know, I know you won the Super Bowl, and maybe it's easy to have that sophomore slump, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I feel like, and particularly coming against Tampa, in Tampa, where they suffered that painful loss, I think that you could really see a mindset there that, hey, we're going to go out here and we're going to clear this up.
Are we starting to figure out how elite of a coach that Andy Reid really is?
If you hadn't before, you should be.
Right, because this is a team who, in the offseason, traded off their best receiver in Tyreek Hill. They let their all-pro safety walk in the offseason in Tyrann Mathieu. And have they missed a beat? I feel like they've gotten better on defense. And I feel like the offense is looking fine, you know? And so I think that's one of those things where you're sitting there and, with all things equal, you're looking back and going, man, a lot of teams would hit the tank if they let those two things happen, and Andy Reid just hasn't had that happen this season. So, again, right now the Chiefs are going to be right there at the very end.
And because of that, you could tell that the national media also understands just how fun Kansas City is to watch and how well they play, because they keep putting them on these primetime games, you know, and that's going to be the case once again this week as Kansas City's playing Monday Night Football with the Raiders. I could just hear Cosell and Gifford and Meredith right now. How many times have those two teams been on Monday Night Football?
Well, and I think, you know, back when you were making the schedule, you were expecting this to be a great game, right? The Raiders added a lot of pieces. They got a new head coach. It should be exciting.
And what was supposed to have been the best division in football.
Right. And right now, it just hasn't been. But that's not to say that the Raiders aren't going to be amped up when they take on the Chiefs this week. So, again, should be a great game. Kansas City, a 7-point favorite. The over-under at 51. I feel like you probably blow by that again.
If you need your football fix tonight, you can do it with the Colts at the Broncos this evening. It's the Thursday night game.
Does it feel like I've seen every Broncos game this year? And I'm not really trying to, okay? Every time I turn on the TV, the Broncos are on. And if you're a Kansas City fan, it makes you feel good because you watch this Broncos team and, man, they don't look like they do much well. Both these teams going into tonight's game. If you're into running the football, this might not be your game because the Broncos lost their running back for the season, Javonte Williams. And for the Colts, Taylor's not going to play tonight. So I feel like it's going to be one of those games where you're going to have backup running backs and quarterbacks that are not that good. So, you know, it could be a close game.
Yeah. And if you want to get Sunday football started early, you can do that, as there's going to be another London game this week, is the Giants and the Packers. It will be 8:30 a.m. local.
The Shield does it right. I'm telling you.
You spread it through the whole day.
Right, and it's just you start at 8, you're not done till like 10-something at night. Like, it's fun.
Cowboys are going to be at the Rams Sunday at the 3:25 game, and you know, the Cowboys, they may have found a quarterback.
Well, do you find it kind of funny that, you know, Dak Prescott, everybody thought would be back for this game, and now all of a sudden Jerry's saying, well, he can't grip the football well, so we're going to stick with Cooper Rush this week. And
I'd say maybe works.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, anyway, it's kind of interesting to see how things are going down there in Dallas. But, yeah, Cooper Rush just keeps answering the bell and winning.
Sunday night game is going to be one that doesn't do much for me. Maybe it should. Bengals at Ravens.
Yeah, for the Ravens, they've been blowing a lot of leads lately. They should have beat Buffalo. They should have beat Miami. Both double-digit leads that they let get away late. So it'll be interesting to see if they can come back and beat the Bengals in this game. You know, for me, if it ends in a tie, that's fine, too. I just don't care either way.
Moving to the NCAA, did you realize that in the Big 12 Conference, there's only going to be one game that pits two nationally ranked teams?
That does not pit two nationally ranked teams, right?
No, there's one that pits two nationally ranked teams, TCU at Kansas.
Yeah, but do you know in the whole conference, there's only one game being played this weekend that
has
features, two teams that are not ranked, and that is going to be at the Cotton Bowl, the Red River Shootout. But who would have thought, right? Number 17 TCU at number 19 Kansas.
Can they keep playing? Can they keep winning? Because we listened to them on the way home from Canton, and it came right down to the end. I feel badly for the freshman kicker for Iowa State who missed his third field goal in the game that would have tied it at the bell. But Kansas continues to win, and third consecutive sellout at the booth.
Yeah, and so everybody says, well, yeah, but Iowa State missed three field goals, any of which would have, sent it to overtime. Yeah, but how many times in, those what we call magical seasons does that play happen, right? We look back to 18, and I forever will look at the 18 season as just, a whole bunch of magical plays. You go back to the Grandview game where Grandview fumbles at the goal line, where they're going to go in and go up by double digits. Instead, they fumble, Shepherdson takes it back. You go back to the playoff game against Cumberland's and, the magic at the end of that thing in overtime. So some years the ball is just going to bounce your way. And right now for Kansas, it is. But for TCU, these guys are lighting up the scoreboard. They took it out on Oklahoma the other day. So I don't know. It should be a great game.
TCU is a touchdown favorite, by the way, going into that one. Kansas State is going to be up at Iowa State as the Cyclones continue to try to lick their wounds. K-State, I would think, should have no trouble with that, even though they're only a two-point favorite.
Yeah, they're only a two-point favorite. I think K-State probably wins that thing handily.
LSU's at home with Tennessee. I'm thinking the Tigers can do this.
Yeah, they're at home. It's Death Valley. The only thing that's weird is when you think of LSU big games, you always think of those as being night games at the Valley, but I just think that LSU beats Tennessee in their 20s. What's their quarterback? 25, 26-year-old quarterback, And so I think it's one of those things, though, that I think LSU wins, I think.
In the desert, Notre Dame, unranked Notre Dame, is going to be up against BYU.
Why are we playing that thing in the desert?
When they scheduled it, they thought BYU is pretty close, and they're going to bring some fans, and no matter where
Notre Dame travels,
they're
going to
bring fans. And so they thought they don't want to go to Las Vegas and make a weekend of it, but I don't know if they'll sell that thing out or not.
I mean, Notre Dame fan shows up, so I think that'll help. Yeah, I mean, game does nothing for me, but most Notre Dame games don't.
Auburn is going to be at number 2 Georgia Saturday afternoon. And you mentioned Texas has got Oklahoma Red River rivalry. Is this the last time since they're both going together, so they can continue to renew that through the SEC.
Yeah, and Texas, how far has Oklahoma fallen, right? They lose to Kansas State. They get pummeled by TCU. And now they're a 7-point dog against the Horns? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I know. I know we've got a short but outstanding football schedule coming up this weekend here on Care Radio. It's tomorrow night. We're going to be at Guy Galley Field. It is homecoming 2022 for Mar Hill Mount Academy as the Ravens play host to cross county and conference opponent and ACCHS. 7 o'clock ball game here on Care Radio. Saturday, do something fun. Work in the yard. Put out your Halloween decorations. Maybe pick up the teepee that's been thrown around town for the last couple of weeks as the Ravens have an open date. We want to thank our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Till we greet you tomorrow night. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.